Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks. Hello.
Hi, good morning.
Yes, morning, ma'am.
Yes, I'm also a concerned citizen of Barbados. I have my mom, she's 83 years old. I followed the protocol and I did everything they say to do on the COVID hotline for persons over the age of 70. Up to now, I have not got an appointment.
No appointment and no explanation as to why you...
No appointment, no explanation. I went back. I tried to have something done again. They WhatsApped me and asked me, did you follow the information through? I said, yes, I did. Nobody answered me back. And all I know, I'm hearing people from all over going and getting their vaccines. They are now reaching another age, people dealing with different types of health challenges. And up to now, she hasn't been vaccinated or getting an appointment. When you try to call the various polyclinics that is around in your area, no one is responding to you. So what are you supposed to do with your elderly?
Well, I can only ask the government and the communications unit to send us any information that they can. We will transmit it to you. This is everyday information that they should be, well, able to send a press release on or something like that, so that we could help people like you to get a sense of direction. You're not alone.
It is very sad because this is happening all over the island. And I believe right now there are hundreds of Barbadians, elderly people that are home that would like to have a vaccine and cannot get it because of what is going on. They may not be in a position to actually leave home to go to a polyclinic and just wait in a long line like that. So they were waiting patiently to get their appointment. And now there are no appointments, nor nobody is even talking to you, communicating to you in any form of way. I think it's a disaster.
It's not good news to have people like you reacting this way and feeling this way. So as best as we can, you know, we need to respond to this so that you can get over this particular hurdle.
Yes, they really need to do something, tell us something, come on air, say something before they can actually go to another set of people, before all the elderly is actually being taken care of.
Okay, understood. Down to Brass Tacks. You're most welcome. Down to Brass Tacks, hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Greetings, sir.
Yes, sir. How are you?
I am trying to be. I saw something in relation to if condolences would be in order for you. I mean...
Okay, thank you very much. Yes.
Yeah, I don't believe social media much nowadays, but I believe that if it is true, I would want to offer my condolences to you, sir.
All right, sir. Thank you. What's your concern today?
My concern is I heard the president of BARP speaking about the fact that the BARP persons are being disadvantaged. I would like to offer a suggestion. I don't like to complain. I'm a member, as you would know. My suggestion would be, why don't we make the BARP headquarters a center specifically allocated to BARP members, as well as the over 65s who may not even be BARP members. So they don't go stand up in a line anywhere else. They know there's a specific location for them, and maybe you could do the appointment thing from that location, and that would help to solve some of that issue. What are your views on that?
Well, I think the people who are looking after this system are the ones who need to review it, look at other options. I think part of what has happened here is that they devoted a lot of time and attention last week to the people who are over 70. right? And now they're looking at people who are 18 to 69 with non-communicable diseases. They too were looked at last week, along with the people who are over 70. This week now they're seeing the people who are setting up appointments to be seen. The question is, to what extent did we really exhaust the number of people in the over 70 categories last week? And whether they may not have to just come back to look at this now. We have a lot of information floating around us, and part of what is happening is that even if you give information in one interview or so, you sometimes have to reinforce that information by just repeating it in different ways. So I might have missed some of what they were saying, but, and in that context, they may just need to send, I'd like them to send me something more direct so that I can share the accurate picture to members of the public who may want to know what is going on in that regard.
I'm hoping that someone would look at the suggestion I'm making to make the BARP headquarters a center. That is that point. My second point would be that in the initial stages of the care packages, I witnessed a scenario where some people actually got two and three packages from two different vehicles because the communication and so on was really not in order. I hope that has been sorted out because, some Barbadians, some people have no conscience that they will want to get two and three and four packages because two different vans pass and then other people are disadvantaged. I saw that. I actually went to the Defense Force people and I drew it to their attention that there needs to be communication between the first and the second vehicle so they don't actually give to people who have had already. But I recognize that a change has been made where you do not come out of your house, but the people move from the vehicle and come to you and drop off. You pick it up and there. That is a much better scenario.
All right, sir. Thanks for your intervention. This person says, I too registered my elderly mom on the second day of the announcement to register, and she too has not been called or received an appointment. You know, another person says, I had that same problem. Filled the form on the WhatsApp. I was asked 3 days after if I filled the form. I said yes, and there was no reply. I'm over 70, hypertensive, and diabetic. And there's this slew of complaints that are coming in via WhatsApp here from people who feel that the system is not as responsive as they want it to be in this regard. This person says, why don't they adopt the alphabet system as well by parish with the over 70s first? And then under 70s with NCDs rather than the appointment system. Something is going wrong here based upon the kind of feedback that we are getting right now. This is down to brass tacks. This person says that there are a number of people who are COVID positive and cannot get transportation to go to St. Lucie, and they're finding it difficult to quarantine away from their families. Down to brass tacks.
Good evening. Good morning, sorry.
Good morning. It's 11:32.
Yes, David, same person. I got cut off at the point when you were speaking to the fact that you had made an appointment for your mother or something, but I didn't hear anything after that.
That I had done what?
You said something about an appointment. You had made some appointment. This is the same caller from before. And we were speaking about the care packages and so on. Maybe that's a different matter. I had two other points, but I was cut off. The other point would be that the issue, as you know, I always talk about people burning stuff. And interestingly enough, I saw on the news that one insurance company, no name called, so don't cut me off, said avoid burning any rubbish because of the problems it could cause for people downwind with sinus and so on. And the next night, I saw when burning rubbish, do it in a metal can. Now, I am totally puzzled because this issue of burning stuff will increase when people are on lockdown and when they are at home. And there's 10 years or more that I've been asking about this matter. The fire people have come out and talked about this 150 permission and all that. You go 150, a fella wake up at 6 in the morning and burn some stuff, or 11 o'clock in the night. It comes down when it doesn't affect them, but I have a person in my household with acute sinusitis that will smell it 10 minutes before me. And nothing has been done about this for years. And now with the COVID and people at home, it will be worse. I would really like to ask that the people in charge, including the fire service and whoever else, have the legislation in place, just like how you have $50,000 for breaching a COVID protocol. I want $50,000 when you burn stuff in a residential area.
Okay, sir.
My final point, sir, is it is interesting. It is a very sandy event that goes on, but it is very interesting that we have parties. You hear about 4 or 5 parties, and when you look in the paper, you don't see or hear much about the party people. And even when it came to the super spreader and all that, the actual super spreader was never mentioned. You hear about West Coast and West this and West that. But the particular area that really assisted with this spread was never mentioned. And all I know, people are supposed to be going to court, and there are certain people who are never mentioned. You know, people sing about 2 and 3 Barbadoses, where we have about 4 now. Thank you, sir.
Well, you know, there are different views on this whole question of the kind of measures that are being taken and the kinds of fines and all of that that are being imposed on people for breaking curfew. I know it is important, but I suppose you gotta reprimand people, and you gotta send a message. You also gotta be careful that you don't make it seem as though you're criminalizing people for things that really, in today's world, shouldn't be really carrying some of these penalties. I mean, this is a country right now where people out on bail for killing people. It's still happening. We're still out on bail for killing 2 and 3 people and that sort of thing. So, I mean, you got to weigh one against the next. Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks.
Good afternoon.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Rice. Yes. Thank you for your family.
Thank you very much.
Blessed day and keep strong.
Welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Yes, morning.
Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, morning.
My condolences to you. My condolences are going out to you, my family.
Sir, I've registered that. Thank you very much.
Okay, well, I heard people giving you it, so I didn't hear the program from the beginning, so.
I must tell you, I get uncomfortable if the program starts to be dominated by this, because I recognize that quite a number of people have expressed condolences to me already, and I really appreciate it, but at the same time, I think once we register that, let's move on as quickly as possible to what the other issues are, because I really feel uncomfortable if the program becomes dominated by this type of discussion. My role here is to facilitate, you know, you all and the issues that you face, and as much as possible, I'd like to do that. And while you register how you feel, and I appreciate it, you know, let's see how quickly we can get on to the other things that are of concern to you, okay?
That's fair enough. But you know, I don't call you that much, so I would have to be like, you gotta treat me as a special person.
You? Okay? You want special treatment?
Well, but I don't speak to you that much. if I make that, I just had to make that call.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Fair enough. So, uh-huh.
All right, let me move on. To those that want to split hairs between the idea of social distancing and physical distancing, mm-hmm. I am certain that everybody that listening to me now right now, Mr. Ellis, know what is meant by social distancing, right? And we don't have to split hairs, right? Because if someone asks you if you socialize, they don't mean if you are on social media. They mean if you are mingling with others or, you know, mm-hmm. in the crowd, the people, the alignment, and so on. Social distancing means what it is, what we do know. So, people, I heard this morning you were mentioning about baby Mr. P, about the space and out when you ain't got the markings. People, like, they can't know how to space out. But I would make this suggestion. All you have to do is make your hand like a cross and go to the one end away from the person of the end of your arm. That is let me see that. I mean, you're making a, trying to measure a yard away from the center of your body to the end of your arm, right? You make your hand like a cross and go to one end, and then you'll be at 6 feet, right? That is one. Already bring me out, Mr. Ellis. I heard your female caller, your well-known female caller this morning, making a good point. I listened to the program, too, and I was appalled. Not that I was appalled. I know it was nothing more than a political statement being made, because she talked about it being common sense, and I know that the gentleman have his education as well as common sense. You cannot lock down a country for 2 days and expect you continue to test, right? There's community spread. And continue to test and expect that you're going to get cases that rising. So I totally agree with her that the tone, that we are not idiots, and the tone really need to be more, need one more diplomatic.
But what was the, seriously, I listened to the thing yesterday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday evening, and I couldn't find fault with the tone in that sense. The tone to me was, look, we don't want you to go back out there crowding. We would encourage you to stay home as much as possible. Her argument is that staying home does not reduce the numbers, in her judgment, because there's community spread. And, you know, from the very beginning, community spread, to my mind, can also be called family spread.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the people have gone out to work, going to the supermarket, go to different places, and come back home, and they bring the virus bring the virus home. If you have large groups of people in one family, then the potential for the virus to spread to several people in one household, that potential is great. So that's why the whole question of the government trying to find accommodation for people who are living in those circumstances and want to get away from it, so that you can reduce the extent to which there is family spread or spread within the households. I think the big challenge here, the real difference, is what is called community spread. And just staying home, and some time ago, I think I said that the timing is everything, because we've had examples of countries that locked down, had everybody home, and the numbers just soared. You know? So this idea that because you are locked down, that you are preventing the spread of COVID has not been borne out by what has happened in countries like Italy, and I believe Uruguay are good examples of it. Because you can it appears you can lock this virus into the homes and create a spread as well. And then you're caught in a real cash 22 situation. Because if you do, you're down. And if you don't, you're down. If you stay home, you spread. And if you open up, you spread. And the casualty in all of this is your health facilities. And I dare say, the case of Barbados is very interesting because the biggest super spreader in Barbados was the breakdown in our testing. And once that happened, it helped to create a situation where there were a lot of people out there who are asymptomatic and they were walking around and spreading this virus from the point to point. It's also interesting to look at the numbers relating to the seek and save. The seek and save, when you look at the number of households that have been visited and the number of people that they're actually intercepted, to me, it is revealing the high degree of asymptomatic cases that we have in the country, or the extent to which people may have symptoms, but they don't want to reveal those symptoms to the people who are coming to their places. And those of you who are raving about the seek and save and suggesting that it is such a phenomenal success, well, I would suggest to you that success has to be measured in the stated objective. That stated objective was to go there, find people who are showing symptoms and bring them in, get them attention. And if you can look at those numbers and see that there's been a large number of people who fell into that category and took advantage of it, then it's a success. If it's relatively small, then you have to question how successful it has been and why it has not been as successful as you thought or we wanted it to be, you know? But I think that it is driven to a large extent by the fact that there may be a large core of people who are asymptomatic, and therefore when asked, they say, well, I don't have any sore throat, I don't have any fever, I don't have this, I don't have that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right, but there before I go, right, what I want to say to Bajans is, I do not believe that some people, that everybody is going to kill out. Like some people come in with their fear and say that it will kill all of us. No, there's some. The fact is, the positive thing is that some people are recovering, right? So there's a silent thing that is going on. As I say, invisible enemy. Because there's some people walking about and do not know that they might be carrying this thing, right? Because the body's strong. So it all depends, and I commend people that will come on your radio like Friday and telling people how certain remedies to take that could counteract. It's something like a strain of the flu virus, right? So those old time remedies and so on, and sleep must be important, right? Don't remember that sleep should be at the top, and we should be advocating. Building up our immune system and taking things and so on. But one last thing before I go, I want the landlords be lenient on their tenants when the country open back up and have a heart and don't expect that people can, you know, could pay, like if they have rent to pay and so on in business and so on, that they by the lockdown for a month, they have the money to
How long have landlords been in this position though?
How long?
You know how long? Yeah.
Well, I mean,
A lot of landlords have been locked into this situation since last year, you know.
Okay, I understand. But they still gotta understand the people too that it's no fault of their own, they have to be out of work and their business have to be closed down.
If you're a landlord who invested some money in a building,
mm-hmm,
went to the commercial bank and borrowed some money to help establish this thing and depended upon the rent to help you repay the mortgage or the loan or whatever you have, a sustained, a prolonged period of getting no rent could put you under pressure, you know. That's one. Mm-hmm. If you are the person who invested your money years ago, they're building a house or two and operated on the basis that this is what you would depend upon to provide you with an income in your old age, you decided not to put your money in government bonds, but to put it in something like that, real estate. If you can't get rent for several months, that is extreme pressure for you too, you know.
But the
so having a heart, mm-hmm. having a heart is one thing, but you also have to be realistic about what some people have to endure.
Mm-hmm. I understand your part, but because it's not default, if any for every tenant is like say renting doing a business, if any tenant thought that they have to be locked down, what there's really government should step in and give the landlords tax breaks and so on. That can happen too, and help so that they would like help the landlords to like be more lenient on the tenants. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, that could work, right?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, David.
This person says that they want to join with the lady who made a passionate call about what is happening. Let me share my experience with you. When the Seek and Save came to me, I'm still waiting for them to ask one question about dengue. It left me wondering. Let me also tell you this. Nothing is confidential about that. I am not complaining because we have no privacy anymore, writes this particular individual. And this other one says, but why you don't tell Barbados Light and Power, Flow, and Digicel to hold on their bills? Because landlords have to deal with that as well. This other person writes here that landlords need help. I am a landlord. I am retired. And I haven't received rent since May of last year, writes this person. Down to brass tacks. Hello?